Welcome to the EduGals podcast. We are your co-hosts, Rachel Johnson
and Katie Atwell. We are here to bring you tips and tricks to help you integrate technology into your classroom.
In this episode, we are going to dive into podcasting in the classrooms. We're going to get into why you would want to podcast with your students, as well as how to get started.
We thought that we would share something that is near and dear to our hearts and something that we're very passionate about, because we hope that you can share this with your students and maybe start demonstrating learning in a different way. So for our big episode 50, here we go.
Let's get started. This week, Katie and I are going to be talking all about podcasting in the classroom. So what you can do with your students and how you can set up your podcasting assignments.
Yes, we decided that, you know, this is episode 50 and it feels like a bit of a celebration. So we wanted to kind of bring something that we have really enjoyed doing and talk to you about how you can make this a passion project and something that students can really grab hold of for your own classroom.
It is pretty amazing that it's episode 50. And yeah, like Katie said, we definitely want to celebrate. And we love podcasting. We've been doing it for over a year now. And so we've really kind of been thinking about ways that you could bring it into your classroom. And how you can kind of set it up and do it really successfully with your students.
And it's funny because we're so introverted. Like if you know us in person, you know that we're kind of the people who maybe wouldn't seem like they would be podcasters. So it just goes to show that even the most introverted people and students who maybe not, like they might not seem comfortable, they can really find joy in something like podcasting.
For sure. You know, introverts, we close the door and if we're comfortable with a person, we can talk for hours about something we're really, really passionate about. And Katie and I are super passionate about technology and integrating that into the classroom. So we could really, really talk for hours on this. And so I think it's about finding that sweet spot, right? For your students who might be more reserved and not necessarily speak up in your class, it's not that they don't want to speak up or that they have nothing to say. It's just they just haven't had the right sort of avenue to be able to do that.
And I think that this really kind of opens up that opportunity for them. So podcasting is great because it gives everyone a voice, right? They can take on a subject and become experts and share their opinions and their thoughts. And it can actually be really helpful for a lot of our students.
We were just talking before this too about going live versus podcasting as well. And I think that's maybe kind of an interesting point to talk about, right? Because we hate going live. No, maybe not hate. We're just not comfortable with it yet.
Yes.
And so I think the reason why I really like podcasting as something that students can do is you're taking away that anxiety and that stress of doing something live. You know, if they mess up with what they're saying, it's okay. You just, you know, take a pause and you start saying it again.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be perfect. And for a lot of our students who are maybe a little more quiet, this could be that perfect opportunity because they might be afraid of making mistakes or being misinterpreted. So giving them the chance to prepare and then to record, but also, you know, keeping that option of knowing, hey, we can edit this afterwards. So if I make a mistake, that's okay. We've been on a couple of shows as guests where it's been live and the pressure is real.
It's very real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we've been podcasting for just over a year now, but I feel the pressure when I know it's live. It's scary.
I'm slowly getting a little bit more comfortable with live because I've done some stuff with Global Gig and I've been on the Teachers on Fire podcast once. And so I've been kind of trying to push myself out of that comfort zone and do some of that live stuff. But it is stressful.
Yes. And you have to be willing to fill the time. And I don't feel like I'm very good at that. Like if I'm searching for words, because let's be honest, there are many days where I'm like, what's the word? What am I thinking of? Yeah, no, So kudos to all of you podcasters who do it live. I have a lot of respect for you, man. Good on you.
All right. So let's dive in. Let's talk about podcasting in the classroom. So I think we've talked about a couple of our reasons about why it's good, but maybe let's develop that a little bit more first, and then we'll dive into how to get started, how to get set up, how to prep your students, and some of the other resources that are available.
So one of the whys that I think is important, especially, and you guys hear me go off on rants and whatnot about English language learners on an almost weekly basis, but developing language. And it's not just for language learners, I do have to say. It can be for any content course, you know, getting comfortable with the academic language within that course to a point where you can actually speak about it, explain your thoughts, share some learning. Like, to me, that's huge. And the more comfortable students are with like the academic language and the lessons and what they're learning, the better they're going to do in retaining that knowledge and being able to demonstrate it moving forward.
Definitely. Talking about your subject matter and the language that goes around with it definitely will help you develop that language for sure. I think about science, like all the terms in science, right? And how much language there is that goes into it. I think Katie's kind of taking me off on her rants on language acquisition quite a bit, but I do definitely agree with them. And so being able to talk about science and being able to be eloquent and explain different scientific concepts, like what better way is there to learn about the material than to have to talk about it?
And I think one of the other things to think about is we always talk about, you know, how can we create something that is authentic, that we could share with a real audience and have it be relevant? Podcasting, like that's the perfect way. It actually, you know, your audience is built in. You're targeting something towards other people. So you want to make sure that you can be understood, that you're coherent and your language is clear. But authentic audience, I think it's built right into this whole mode.
There's nothing like putting yourself out there and knowing that your work is out there and other people might be listening to it to make sure that you do a really good job on it, right?
Yeah, there's way more buy-in.
I think it's also like a really kind of great opportunity for students to be able to develop their arguments and their logic, right? And sort of thinking about how to build up an episode and how to focus it on a certain topic and what pieces to include and what not to include and all of that sort of research stuff that goes in to something. I think maybe even like it's a great sort of way to reinvent like the typical English essay, right? Where you're building your thesis statement, your three paragraphs with the argument supporting your point and then making your conclusion. Like, that's actually a great structure for a podcast episode.
Yeah, it kind of falls naturally in line with that. So instead of doing it written, like this could be one of the steps you're taking to help students get comfortable with that. So why not have them do, you know, answer, prove using a specific detail and then explain that, you know, but explain it using your own words and out loud. Help them kind of, you know, go through that process of making sense of what they're saying and making it all kind of tie together nicely. So that could be actually one of the ways in which you scaffold towards a full-blown essay. I think one other why, which I think is really, really important, well, there's a few more, but community. And I know you may not see it right away, but if you're doing a class podcast, you are going to create such important connections between your students. It's going to become such a team effort. People are going to want to make sure that they're doing their job to make sure it works and it can be successful and the final product is great. You're really going to work on, you know, accessing the strengths of the people in your classroom. You know, maybe somebody loves editing video and audio. Maybe they want to take on the editing for these episodes. You know, maybe you have somebody who wants to be kind of like your main host, who kind of hosts these conversations with other students. That's okay too. Maybe somebody wants to put together the artwork. You know, how do you want to create visuals for your episodes? Like, do you want to have like your own logo for your classroom podcast? I don't know. I think it's a really good opportunity to really build relationships in your classroom.
And I think you brought up a good point there. Like, it's also not only building those relationships, but it's building some of the skills that students might not necessarily be exposed to in their entire time that they're in school. So video editing and audio editing and creating graphics and doing that social media kind of push and all of that sort of stuff that goes in behind creating a podcast. Where else are you going to necessarily learn about those skills? Unless you're taking specific, for example, in Ontario, like specific graphic design type courses and communication technology type courses. If you're not taking those, you're not exposed to it anywhere else. So I really like that students are indirectly learning all of these skills while also being engaged in your curriculum content.
And I actually think, just the way you brought up the graphic design course, I also wonder about doing like a school-based podcast. And, you know, you want to build community within your building. Maybe there's a lot of disconnect. Maybe there's just, well, let's talk this year. Like grade nines, no real peer connections unless they went to grade eight together, right? Newcomers, no real peer connections unless they've been in smaller classes and been able to get to know some of the people. Like, this could be a great way to tie together so many different parts of your school community. You could have different class hosts every week posted on your school website, and you can listen to one another. You can have topics that are relevant for the students that are in your building. You could get the graphic design class to go ahead and design some of the artwork. Like, there's so many different ways that you can build a school-based podcast to give students voice.
And then that goes along with creating a culturally relevant system and honoring student voice. As long as you're making sure that you are including all voice within your community, then it's a great way to build that up as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. I think that there's a lot of really wonderful opportunities built into this type of format and podcasting. And there's a lot that you can do with it.
Yeah, and it's that little bit less intimidating. And I know I'm kind of circling back to a point we've already made, but I even think about, in the past, I've tried Flipgrid with my classes and even getting them to post a response on Flipgrid. So many of them don't want to show their face and don't want to do that. Like they're really, really stressed about that. So I think podcasting could be a nice step to get students more comfortable with creating any kind of media that they could then maybe take the next step and start creating video to go along with it too.
Yeah, it really is. Like it's done wonders, I know, to my confidence because, you know, I used to go and do PD for small groups at our old school. And I remember the nerves when I was getting in front of people. Whereas now I think because I podcast with you, we've been guests a couple times on other podcasts and we put ourselves out there all the time. I feel like I'm less nervous when I get in front of peers and people.
Yeah, definitely supports building confidence. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Okay, so these whys are great. All in good. It's great to know the whys, but it's important to get into the nitty gritty because it's not just as simple as, okay, let's hit record and start talking.
Yeah, you need to go in with a little bit more preparation, although sometimes Katie and I don't.
I know. Sometimes I like to make her a little bit uncomfortable and just say, okay, let's hit record now, Rachel. But no, it's when you're starting off, especially if you want this to be a successful endeavor for students, you really want to make sure there's more structure. So I think next up we talk about how to prepare and set up for a podcast.
I think you definitely need to kind of start out with exploring the different types of podcasts that are available within your kind of curriculum area first. So if you're teaching science, what kind of science podcasts are there out there? And get your students to do some of this background research. So get them to go and pick maybe five different shows and listen to an episode or two of each to get an idea of the style and the different sort of structures that different podcasts use.
Definitely. That's a great way. Plus then they're not only producing, but they're also kind of taking it in to get used to some of that format and to get a better idea as to what they should be doing.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of inspiration from the various podcasts that I listen to. And so that sort of helped when Katie and I were talking about a structure for our podcast, how we wanted to set things up.
That being said, when I go back and listen to episode one, because I have, I'm not going to lie, I'm so embarrassed listening to that one because you can tell how nervous we are.
And see, I have not gone back and listened to it since I edited it.
Oh, see, no. See, I've gone back to listen because I was interested to hear how we've kind of developed and become more comfortable over time. Let me tell you, we have definitely become more comfortable. Oh, man.
Yeah, it really is interesting, though, like how many different styles of podcasts there are out there. I would say, you know, the one that Katie and I do, occasionally we have guests on, and we've been blessed with having some really great guests, especially lately. But we're just sort of one style. We're like a conversational type, laid back kind of style of podcast. But there are so many other types out there. There can be monologues where it's just one person talking, or it can be always interviews with guests. It could be large groups. Like there's a multiple sort of ways that podcasts can be structured.
Yeah. And I think it really comes down to who are the people wanting to record. And, you know, do you have to stick with one if you're doing a classroom? Absolutely not. Like, do it based on the students and what their interests are and what their strengths are, right? So if one student wants to do a monologue and talk about science for a good hour, I mean, let them do that. If somebody wants to bring on a guest and ask kind of like question answer and problem solve through, I mean, that's okay too. There's no right or wrong. The point here is getting students comfortable enough to hit record and actually start talking and sharing information and putting together this episode.
I think from there, then, what you might want to do with your students, depending on what sort of style they want to go with, is you're going to want to think about the kinds of skills that they are going to need to successfully put a podcast episode together. So if you're going the interview route, you're going to want to talk about what effective interview skills are. Like, how do you design and develop questions that you're going to ask your guests to get that open response kind of dialogue going?
You want to make sure it's going to trigger some sort of conversation. And that can actually be difficult. So you have to be careful how you ask those questions.
And then you're going to want to also then think about scaffolds for some of your learners that maybe struggle with language as well.
And pronunciation, right? And so sometimes this can be quite stressful for some students. And so making sure that they take the time to practice and go over words and pronunciation, over enunciation, which I am very guilty of. As many people have told me, especially when I say Toronto or Tim Hortons. but essentially just really making them less fearful of, you know, making mistakes and struggling to be understood.
I think my favorite is when you say et cetera.
Oh, I know. I'm terrible. My T's. I always do my T's. When my kids were really young and learning how to speak, they wouldn't always say them. And so I started over enunciating everything, and then it's just stuck. Plus, teaching English language learners, it helps them with spelling when I over enunciate.
Another area you're definitely going to want to explore is digital citizenship. I think this is a really great place to incorporate and embed digital citizenship throughout your project.
Yeah. We need students to be aware of what they're putting out there, what information they're sharing, how they can be viewed. So you need them to be very aware of the language they're using. And just to remember, like, this is going, it potentially going on the internet. It could be public. It might be private, but it's still kind of being posted. So just making sure that they protect themselves and be appropriate, which can be tough because sometimes they hit record and they might be feeling quite bold. So just having those conversations of, would you want your parents to hear this, or your teachers, or your principal, or your future employer? Because that's important right now.
I like that. That's pretty good advice. You know, if your mom was listening, would she be proud of what you're putting out there?
Yeah.
Even just having that discussion around, do you even say your full name on a podcast, right? And how much of yourself do you put out there? Katie and I are happy to put our full names out there and put ourselves out there quite a bit, but we're adults and that's kind of a decision we've made. You can't really let your students decide whether they're going to put their full name out there or not because they, frankly, most of them are under 18, the age group that we teach, if you're teaching K to 12. And you need to protect their privacy and protect who they are, at least a little bit. And so having those discussions around how much do you put of yourself out there on your podcast, on social media and stuff like that, I think those are all really sort of natural entry points to have those discussions in your classroom as you're working on podcasting.
And if students are uncomfortable using their name, allowing them to use a different name. There's nothing wrong with that. Like if they just want to have like a code name for the podcast, let them do that. Like there's nothing wrong with protecting themselves and their identity and making sure they're comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. I like the idea of code names.
I know you do. I thought you would.
You've just given me a really good idea, actually, for a podcasting project in a chemistry classroom.
Can I guess?
Okay.
I'm guessing you're either going to have them take on the persona of the person who identified an element or something like that, or they could be an element depending on what they're focusing on.
I was kind of thinking the persona of the person. So they could then kind of dive into the history and the background of the scientist who discovered whatever and take on that personality.
And this could be actually really great. I love that I know you that well, though, because as soon as I said that and saw your face light up, I was like, oh, I know what she's going to say. This could also be a really great way to infuse some multiculturalism in science, too. Like, let's take a look at some lesser known scientists. Why not?
I actually came across a really great resource. I'm going to dig it up and put it in our show notes. But it had a list of all of the scientists that are not necessarily well represented in our society and our culture. So they were scientists from like Black, Indigenous, racialized scientists. And so even using that as like a starting off point for your students to start exploring some of these people and their contributions to the field, I think would be a really cool idea.
And this is where you can really tap into some of your newcomers, because they've been learning in a whole other country all about a different perspective, right? Not necessarily Western society perspective on science. Like it could be very different people. And it's going to be based on their culture as well. So why not tap into that? A lot of them are so excited to share people from their own culture or country who are considered big in the different fields in which they're working. So tap into some of these newcomers and the excitement and passion that they have for their own culture. So let's talk a little bit about the nitty-gritty of actually setting it up physically and what this could look like. Because it can be tough. Like, do you absolutely need a setup like we have with actual microphones and an interface and everything else? Like the actual physical setup can range depending on funding, depending on how long term you're hoping this project to be. So I think it's important that we give you a few different perspectives or options.
For sure. You can go as simple as recording on your phone and using the voice memo app, whether you're on iOS or Android or something else. You know, there's always that kind of app within your phone that you can just hit record and record the audio. So you can go as simple as that and just record audio on your phone. And it turns out fairly decent in terms of sound quality.
If kids don't have the best devices, use a Chromebook and use Screencastify, because then you can just go ahead and download the audio as an MP3, which is great. And we never go an episode without Screencastify.
I was waiting for Katie to mention that.
But yeah, so like, and that's a tool that my students know. So there's almost this comfort in using a tool they're so familiar with in a different way. So it's not a bad thing to use something like Screencastify, which may not immediately come to mind.
If you're lucky enough to, and you have WeVideo licenses, you can record audio in there too. And you can actually build full podcast episodes in WeVideo. So that's a really kind of cool tool to use, but I would probably not recommend it unless your schools have licenses or you have a license to it, because you do want that ability to be able to collaborate and build up these big projects. And the reason I bring that up is because with Global Gig, we created a whole Wii video training series, and I made the podcast episode for that one. So I'll link that in our show notes too, so that you can go take a look at how to use Wii video for podcasting.
Nice. Another thing you can do is use just the computer. So when we first started, we were recording using Audacity, which is just a software program. We've also used GarageBand. And then I know I'm currently using GarageBand still because it works. And then Rachel actually uses one called Hindenburg, where she does the editing as well.
Yeah, I really love Hindenburg. I was put onto this software by Stephen Hurley. I actually had a meeting with him a few months ago now, and we were talking all about podcasting, particularly to the coaching role that I do, because I am in another podcast. I'll link that in our show notes too. I'm going to be brave and just link and share, because it's fine if you know where we work. But anyway, I'm digressing a bit. Yeah, so Stephen Hurley suggested Hindenburg, and it's awesome. It's, you can record in there, you can piece together all your episodes in there, you can do all of your editing. You can save little clips as like your favorites. So for example, our show intro and outro, I just have that saved as clip. And then I just kind of paste them in every single episode. It's really, really great. It does cost money. So you're going to want to take a look at that. Maybe go to your principal, your admin, and ask for them to pay for it, because it really is a powerful piece of software. And I would recommend it for anybody and everybody who wants to, you know, really, really do podcasting seriously.
And so for those who aren't familiar with Stephen Hurley, he's a big part of Voice Ed Canada, which kind of puts together a lot of different podcasters from around North America. Really awesome format. And they have some really great shows that you should check out if you haven't yet. We'll put in a link for Voice Ed Radio as well.
Now, if you're going the guest route, then one of the pieces of software that I think is really, really awesome to record in is Zencastr. And so Zencastr's had a lot of updates recently. And what it does is it's basically like a Google Meet or a Zoom or something like that, where you can all meet within a room that you set up. You can see each other's video, and then it records everybody's audio tracks separately. And I think that's kind of a like a big one for me in terms of editing, is having everybody's audio tracks separately, because then if you have to cut something out of one person, you know, you can do that without affecting the other person's audio. Or if you get those instances where people are talking over each other, which Katie and I sometimes do, you can cut that out.
Or like when my kids are coming up the stairs like a herd of rhinos, and you need to cut that out. So because it happens.
What I like about Zencastr too is that it's got a free version, and then it's got a paid version. And the free version's pretty good. You can have up to two guests. You can record up to 8 hours a month. So you can do quite a bit with the free version, and the audio quality is pretty good. We've used it for some of our episodes where we've had guests, and we really like it.
It's been a learning process for guests because, you know, at first we just did what we do now. So we meet on Google Meet, and then, you know, a person will use the software, record, share it with us. Not nearly as convenient as Zencastr. So that's a great option if everybody is remote and you want to be able to get that audio easily.
Now, I would put out kind of a word of caution here, and I think we will talk about some of those privacy concerns, but I would, as a teacher, create the Zencastr account for myself. And then I would share out the guest link and create all of the episodes in my account, and then have my students just go in. They don't even need to log in if they have the guest link then, and they just put in their name. They can put in a nickname maybe, or initials, and you don't have to worry about exposing their kind of privacy, right? It's you making that decision as the teacher.
And so it really can be as simple or as complicated or advanced as you want it to be. I think the goal here is just to get kids talking. So if it's something where you start and you're using phones or Chromebooks and they love it, keep going. If they want to take it that next step to kind of make it a little more professional sounding, kind of take it from there. But just, I would start with baby steps because you don't want to overwhelm your students right off the bat unnecessarily.
And if you want to invest in some equipment, we could talk about that just really briefly. I would say go and look at USB microphones. They're usually pretty cheap. I would recommend going with a dynamic one versus a condenser mic, just because then it tends to not pick up as much of your background noise as a condenser mic would. And so that's going to help with the sound quality a little bit. And there are some great ones out there that are not that expensive. You can get a pretty good dynamic mic for what you're doing in a classroom for, under $100.
Yeah, there are some great options, and you don't need a crazy expensive microphone to make it sound good. Just avoid condensers. I mean, if that's all you have, like when we started, I had a condenser mic and I was in a bin that I lined with pillows and blankets and my head would be inside of this bin and recording. So there are ways to kind of muffle and make it work. Less ideal. Perhaps now we talk a little bit about privacy, because this can be huge. And I know we've touched upon it already, but the whole idea of, do we publish? Do we not? Is this a classroom resource that's kind of just for us? Do we want to share it with the school or with parents? And also, what steps should we take to make sure that our students are protected?
I think first and foremost, you go and have that discussion with your admin. Find out what is needed, what permissions are needed, and how far you can go, and kind of know what those limits are before you do anything else.
Definitely. You want to make sure you have support and that you're not possibly putting students at risk. And so talk to the people who have all that information and who really have to have that on their radar. So admin are a great resource. So talk to your principals and vice principals and just kind of make sure you are aware of your responsibility as an educator and that they are willing to support you in this endeavor.
Now, we did some digging in terms of our board and what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. And, you know, our board's pretty good about putting out a software catalog, telling us what applications we can use and all that sort of stuff. But we did some digging around permissions. And so, for example, in our board, at the beginning of the school year, all the students go home with a ton of forms. Like, it's insane how many forms that parents have to fill out for their kids. But one of those forms is a media release form. And so if students have signed off on that, then technically they have given permission to publish, for example, podcast episodes and have it out there for the world. So if you were a teacher in our board, just knowing that those forms have been filled out and going and checking and making sure all the parent permissions have been given, that would be kind of your first step.
And the key word or concept there is confirm that all of your students have signed that, or parents. Because just because all parents get it doesn't mean that they agree to, there's different kind of levels. Like me as a parent, I do not give permission for my students' photos to be used on social media because that's just not something that I feel comfortable with as a parent. I want my kids to make that choice once they're a little bit older. So I actually say no to photos for my own kids. But the teacher may not know that unless they actually check to see what permissions parents have given. And even if you do check and everybody has signed off on it, I would still do some parent communication just to make sure that everyone is comfortable and aware of kind of what the project is, the meaning behind it, kind of your goals as an educator and what you want your students to achieve, so that parents are on board as well. Because if you have parent support, that goes a long way.
I was just going to bring that up, so I'm really glad you did, is that even if those permissions are there, you still want to communicate with parents and tell them about this podcasting project that you're doing and that it could potentially be out there for the world. Because even if they've signed off on that form, they may still not be comfortable with their student being on a podcast episode that's public. So I would definitely go down that route too.
And then the other thing to consider if you do want to actually publish it is where you're going to host your episodes. Like, what are you going to use to help store those episodes and distribute them or share them with others? Because it's not quite as simple as, we've recorded, here we go,
It's not as easy as honestly uploading a video to YouTube and just posting it on there. I actually think video production is easier in that regard in terms of where you put it, because you have YouTube, which is an amazing platform that's free, that is easy to use. And as long as your students are over 13, like, it's usually okay for them to use too, with some, obviously, some restrictions.
So could you put up like a visual and then add an audio track of your podcast episode to YouTube to make that work?
You totally could. I've seen podcasts that do that. They post their episodes on YouTube with either with just still images, or they have the waveforms, the audio that makes it look like it's doing something as they're talking. So there are ways that you could use YouTube. And honestly, now that I think about it, that might be a great way to go for hosting your podcast.
Yeah, that might actually be the easiest way to go.
Especially if you don't want it on all the podcasting apps. You just want it public, but you don't necessarily want it on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and Spotify and all of those other platforms.
Yeah, that way you can be unlisted, share it with a link. It goes to the people that you shared it with. It's a little more safe and protected for your student privacy.
Yeah, and I think that's why I really kind of like that idea, is because it can be public to whatever degree you decide you want it to be public.
So there we go. That's one way to do it.
Now, our board allows us to use SoundCloud. I haven't personally used it. I haven't heard the greatest things about it in terms of ease of use, but it is a platform where you can host audio files and post them there. So that could be an option as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard too much about SoundCloud either, so I don't really have much to add there, but that's at least one that they have vetted and approved. And so that, to me, you know, makes me a little more comfortable, and at least I have an option, right?
And there are lots of podcast hosting ones out there. We use Buzzsprout, but it does cost money, so that's something that you would want to think about. And then there are some that are even free. So Anchor FM is a free platform, but you're going to want to dive into the privacy policies there. And again, my recommendation for any of these is that the teacher signs up and creates the account. The students are not creating accounts on these platforms.
I think as we go through anything where an account is needed, it should always be the teacher and never the student. I don't think it's wise to have students creating these accounts.
Yeah, so you could really go as big as you want, or you can keep it as tight as you want. You can even, if you just want to share it with your school community, put it in your Google Drive, put the link to anyone within our board or our school, like however those permissions are set up, can view. And then you could just share out the audio that way.
Yep, lots of different options.
So you could go as complicated as you want and as big as you want, or you could keep it tight down to just your class or just your parent community or any of those sort of ideas.
So that's kind of, I think, the setup and privacy portion of things. Maybe just some quick little tips if you do decide to take it on. How about some learning that we have done?
Oh my goodness, how much learning have we done? Oh,
so much.
Okay, so if you want to learn a little bit more about podcasting in general or podcasting in the classroom, I would say Chris Nessie from the House of EdTech is probably the guy to listen to. He talks about podcasting. He's had several episodes, and I'll pull out the ones that have really helped me, and I'll make sure that I put them in the show notes. He is great in terms of knowing his stuff, and he is super, super passionate about podcasting.
And then even just on our own journey, there's this fine line of how much you prep and script versus, and you laugh because it's been a journey. It's been really interesting kind of how we've evolved over time. I think at first we were too scripted, and so we had thought too much about what we wanted to talk about, and it took away the conversation. So it really is a fine line. So once you figure out kind of the setup of your episode and what your students want to do, and if it's more of a conversation, it's really kind of neat to have them go through that process and do some of the preparation so that they're ready to talk about a topic. but without being too scripted as to who says what and when and you know, what you want them to even say. Because I find that it could really close off conversation.
Definitely. I think we've gotten into a really good rhythm now in terms of our podcast where we'll meet and we talk for maybe half an hour or so before we start recording. And we'll just jot down a few notes in a Google Doc. And then we go. And it's really kind of interesting because we come up with all these different ideas and we kind of feed off of each other. So I think, yeah, for sure, having a bit of a script, maybe an outline is a better word to use in terms of preparation for your podcast episode. But then allowing a little bit of that improv and dynamic kind of conversation to happen too.
Yeah, because I think that's when kind of our best ideas come out. Because to be honest, a lot of what we spoke about today weren't actually in our outline, but it's because of the conversation that kind of came out as a result of our outline that we were able to kind of expand and come up with new ideas and kind of think it through a bit more. So it's almost like prepping kind of the bones, like the big ideas, and then having the conversations happen to kind of take it that next step.
So I think we're going to wrap our conversation up here in terms of podcasting in the classroom. Hopefully we've given you some really great ideas and starting points to get started with your class. We will be sure to include all the links and resources that we've talked about here today in our show notes. You can find our show notes at edugals.com/50. That's edugals.com/50.
We really hope that you give this a try with your students. You'd be surprised how motivating it is and how fun it can actually be. So hopefully you found this episode helpful and you're willing to kind of take this risk with your students. And if you think that a colleague or friend could benefit from this episode, then make sure that you share this with them. And don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so that you don't miss out on any future content.
And we'd also love to hear any ideas that you have around podcasting in your classroom. So if you'd like to share projects you've tried or ideas you have or even podcast episodes that you've done with your students, we would love to hear them. So you can go on to our Flipgrid at edugals.com/flipgrid and leave us a video message there. Or you can go on to our website at edugals.com and leave us a written reply.
Thanks for listening and see you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of our EduGals podcast. Show notes for this episode are available at edugals.com. That's edugals.com. We'd also love to hear your feedback, so leave us a message on our website.
And if you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe and consider leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. Until next time, keep being awesome and try something new.